Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware. They lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around, make a sound, calm your down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People. What are you doing, Dan? Population you.
We had so many tries.
I know.
Guys, we love you so much. We've started this episode a couple times to make sure we get it right for you.
And Dan got it wrong.
And the world is getting dumber, as we've observed, and our way to fight back is to try and have some fun with it and make fun of it.
Let's let the air out of the bag.
Let's let the air out of the bag, as it were. I think the political...
Or you know what? The Dumb People Town version? Let's let the air out of the mat.
Let's let the air out of the mattress.
Let the water out of the mattress.
What a great run of episodes we've had and that we're about to go into, including our episode today. I think one of the contributions to our world being dumber is the political state of our world today. And our buddy, who is our guest today, is a part of one of the best political satire shows maybe ever, but one of the best shows on TV today, Veep, and he is our friend Tony Hale. Welcome to the show.
I thought you were about to say, and one of the contributions of the
one of the reasons why the dumbest man we know, Tony Hale.
Well, I will say this, and what I love about your character on the show is that he's probably the dumbest guy who works in that office.
He is. But he has a heart
of gold.
The only guy who has a heart. The only guy
actually,
with a moral
compass. Actually, me and Sam Richardson. You guys know
yes.
Sam Richardson.
Oh, yeah. We've had him on this show.
He's probably got the most heart on the show. I'm just kind of a
your heart
dog.
Is for one, is designed for
that's
one
right.
person.
That's right. As it should be.
As it should be.
Miss Selena Meyer.
I mean, the character is so good that when she won her first Emmy... And you were up, you went up there with her, yeah. I mean, this is a couple of years ago now, and were just doing, you kind of were the character for her winning that Emmy, and that was a brilliant
bit. And she
bit.
Called me that morning, and she said, you know, I'm thinking if I win, I want you to carry my purse. And I was like, sure. And then I got the phone. I was like, oh, shit, you are going to win.
Yeah.
And this is going to be like live theater.
Right.
And this could really screw up.
So you're standing up there, having already done... an amazing character on one of the greatest shows that have won awards in Arrested Development. But the
Buster.
Fact yeah, the fact that you were then the next year, did you win the Emmy or was it 2 years after that?
After Arrested?
No. Yeah, when
I think that Veep. I think that happened to been the same year that I
that you won as
I
well.
Won yeah, cause
I mean
she had won I think the previous yeah she had won the previous year. The whole day was just a complete.
She should have held your purse.
That's right.
Congrats on the nominee again, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
And so deserved.
Thank you guys.
It. I mean it.
But to stand up there and deliver that speech, though. You know, we're in the business of trying to make people laugh and be on show. All you want to do is work, by the way.
That's all you want to do.
You want to work on a show. The fact that you've worked on two of maybe the best comedies in the last several decades
and stood out on both.
Amazing. Like when you get offered stuff, do you say first, how beloved is this project going to be? Because
I always go to a fortune teller and I say, where is this going
to
be?
Well, I took my son to like a 9 o'clock screening of Transformers.
I thought you were about to say Veep.
No, to be
9 o'clock. Your 9 year old screening.
And he loved
Dan.
He loved Dan Bacchadol.
Transformers.
He loved Bacchadol's performance.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And I was the very tech guy.
You were the tech guy, and the second you come on, I think because anyone who's funny or anyone who does anything that's like there's a spark of there's comedy in it, he always turns to me and he's like, do you know that guy? And so you come on and you are doing something funny, you're being sarcastic in the first scene about that they need to act on it. And he turned to me and he was like, do you? And I was like, yes, I know.
And I love him. Our daughters have played and hung out before.
Sweet.
And
I haven't seen them in a while.
I know it's been a little while. We've been away, and I know you've been away. Is it? It's
family vacays.
Little family vacay. It's the summertime, trying to get out. I mean, and we've been working and a little bit on the road, which I know is hard for you. I mean, shooting the show in D.C.
We now shoot Veep here,
which is how much better. You and Cordry both took your. He was in Miami. You were in D.C.
Oh,
and
Ballers
now
came
think,
back here.
I think Ballers is coming back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's always a gift when we come back here. I liked Baltimore, though. Baltimore gets a bad rap because of The Wire. But it's got great restaurants.
I mean, The Wire was so not accurate. So it's
The Wire was
so not real.
Bills itself
like Game
as
of Thrones in terms of fantasy.
It's total fiction. This place could never exist.
There's no needles on the ground anywhere in Baltimore.
I mean, the problem is, and I see
the food is amazing.
Well, food's amazing, but like Game of Thrones, like the worst people in the people are the White Walkers. Yes, yeah.
So did you watch the show last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're recording the Monday after the premiere of Game of Thrones.
Yes. Okay. So this is happening a week
I'm
after.
So sorry.
Yeah. Another episode has happened.
Okay. Are you, so have you seen everything up to this point and you're totally in?
Yes. I mean,
let me tell you right now. I watched the first episode. They pushed a kid out the window and I was like, I'm out.
You're out.
Really?
Something about children in peril.
Yeah,
I just
hard to watch.
It's hard to watch, and I knew it was going to get worse.
Oh yeah,
and then they bring in the dogs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to kind of not disengage.
It
I'm
is
just like that's
it's hard.
That's a tough watch.
Yeah, it
and
is.
I heard about the Red Wedding. I didn't know what was going on, but I heard it was rough.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. I just can't do it.
I love that you have a passing. Like almost like someone in the office who's not really involved in like other people's
what's that red wedding
stuff.
Red wedding.
You're
why I'm out.
That's
you're
why
like,
I'm
no,
out.
I know. I've heard Sheila's going through a divorce,
it's,
but I'm
it's
not.
Rough.
That's not.
Listen, I'll pray for her.
Yeah.
But
I'm not.
Sure.
I can't get in.
I'm not getting involved.
And that's like my wife. My wife loved the shows Homeland. She loved all that stuff. And I'm like, guess what, guys? That's going on somewhere.
That's happening.
That's not fun
too
for me
real.
To watch. I'll watch CNN and be just as depressed.
Okay. All right. So, but in the current, were you nervous at all about, okay, this political firestorm that we're involved in?
People are mad at politics or mad at the people who are mad at politics.
Can they laugh at the world? Do you ever feel like, God, we're trying to create and make her seem so bumbling, but look at our president, you know what I mean?
Many times we've done stuff that's actually happened.
How fucked up is that?
Exactly. However, I think the only thing that this is what I think might be happening is when you watch CNN, when you watch politics, you have a shame attached to your laughter. At least I do, where I'm like, oh my God, I'm laughing, but it's hurting.
Right.
Whereas with Veep, you don't have the shame attached to the laughter, so it's more of a release to say, I can watch that and not feel like, oh shit, that actually happened.
It's so beautifully written, and the scenes and the characters are so well developed.
That's Dave Mint. Those are all the writers.
The
and
writers
stuff,
and the creators, and they
and it goes so fast.
It goes so fast.
I have to like rewind and rewatch jokes.
Yeah.
Are you guys word perfect on Veep?
Do you know I immediately went to the program that I used in college?
No, they're on Bank Street Writer.
Well, no, I just Manchester by the Sea, right? I've recently found out that is when every single pause
word for word
shot it's almost choreography. So like the scenes where they're crying to each other, that is exactly everything is exact. It's almost
like Aaron
a choreographed
Sorkin
dance. Yeah. But do you guys get to play around a lot, or is it pretty much like it's all there on the page, just service it and you'll crush?
We do get to play around a little bit, but they give us time to rehearse where we can play, and then once we get to set it's pretty locked.
Gotcha.
But there's it's
you
not
find
so like,
it in the rehearsal.
Yeah, it's not so it's not so much like you missed an of, you missed a the, like
sure,
they
yeah,
give that
for sure.
But I've heard some sets are like, you added an A into that line. You know, it's like they're really specific.
Well, the worst thing in those moments is when the script supervisor is usually an older woman will walk over with the binder. Like you see the binder and you're like, what did I miss? Like the binder comes over and you're like, God damn it.
Yeah. And it's also frustrating with comedy because sometimes that script supervisor, we have a great script supervisor, but sometimes they, not necessarily on Veep, but other jobs, they'll come over and be like, you missed this, and you know in your gut like it's not working like that.
Right.
This
is the reason
the
why
it's not is off.
And they're just like, my job is to protect the script.
Yes.
And so without the knowledge of living outside of that.
All right. Yes. Well, look, our job on this show is to air it out with the dumb people and them doing dumb things. And Daniel, I know.
But are we saying they're dumb and we're not?
No, we're saying we're all dumb. We're trying to understand.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. Let's have a foundation. We're all a mess. We're all working.
Everybody's
progress.
Got problems.
We're all working this out.
Everybody's
You're
got
gonna
problems.
Love that you use the term air it out. And we have already.
Is there a mattress involved? Is that where your previous joke was?
No. This was sent in by Leslie D. at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, _ Crunch. At Leslie _ Crunch.
She's doing a little product placement
maybe,
for Crunch.
Yeah.
She likes to do sit-ups or works at the Crunch gym.
I'm going to read you the headline first, and I guarantee you we wouldn't even need the rest of the story to just go off on the mentality of these people.
Okay. Can't wait.
Breatharian. No. Couple survives on the universe's energy instead of food.
Wow. Okay.
Breatharian.
Wait. Oh, wait. So they're
not Bavarian. They're Breatharian.
Breatharian couple survives on the universe's energy instead of food.
Do they break it down at all of like how that works?
A Breatharian mom and dad of two.
That's already the problem.
Yeah,
they should not be enforcing their bullshit.
Have barely eaten for 9 years as they live off, quote, the universe's energy.
Okay, now part of me as I am trying to
lose weight. You guys all have kids. I knew that
you were trying to lose weight. I feel like
you're always trying to lose weight. I'm always thinking about it.
Part of me is like, that'd be nice. 9 years of not eating.
Part of me, I just
wish
kinda,
I could do that.
I do kind of go, Tone, why don't you just accept that dad bod and stop trying to find a flat gut that you're never going to have?
It's because.
However, Breatharian sounds.
Breatharian.
Good.
What if we all become Breatharians?
I will not. If you guys enjoy that, I will be having nachos.
All right.
You know what, though? This is the thing that kind of bugs me is when they're like, they barely eat, which means they do see the value of food
because
they're going to die.
You're
if
either
they don't.
All or nothing.
Yeah.
Husband and wife. Akahi Ricardo and Camilla Costello.
I hate both of them.
Believe.
What is it? Ricardo and Costello?
It's that's
one of my favorite mashups of comedy acts from the 50s.
Yeah?
I love Lucy and Abbott and Costello. The Ricardo Costello combo is unbelievable. You know, the couple that doesn't eat together stays together.
Sure.
We've always said
well,
that.
They believe that food and water aren't necessary and humans can be sustained solely on the energy of the universe.
All right, I need a camera. I need to see how this looks on a daily basis.
Yes.
It's a lot of like Zen meditation.
Costello and Ricardo have a 5-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter together.
They collectively weigh 20 pounds.
Yeah.
You know what? That's
no,
abuse,
their
man.
Kids. No, their kids reaction to them are
probably
gonna be enormous.
Yes,
they're just going to be like mountains of people because that's what happens. You ever see like an anorexic mom, and then you see the kid is enormous, and it's like she's eating to make up for what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
She feels so bad
she's trying to smother you.
Well, they go to college, and it's just like everything's released.
Yes.
Yep.
Freshman 18.
Well, yeah, when they get that meal card.
That buffet.
Yeah.
The
those
buffet.
Breatharians are out.
Yeah. Out.
Breatharian can't beat a chicken sandwich.
They have survived on little else besides a piece of fruit or vegetable broth just 3 times a week since 2008.
I need to do that. That's how much I need
I
to
do
that
you
for
know
like
how
3 weeks.
Angry I would be though.
Oh my god, man.
And just irritable.
But will you get to the other side? That's what I'm saying, cuz you'll be hangry at the beginning.
Well, you get to the Atkinson point where your breath smells and then you get past it.
Well, you smell like death essentially.
Sure.
But also then
you
got to discipline
dying.
Your kid. Like a 2 and a 5 year old.
I know.
That's the moment when like he's hitting her and she doesn't want it anymore.
And that's the moment when social services stepped in. Like there's a situation here that's just really sad.
With kids, a box of Cheerios should not last a year.
No, but the kids are going to be fighting with each other. And in that moment where your children are fighting with each other, you have one of two options. You can yell at them, shame them, and hit them. Or you can go into the kitchen and eat something that's bad for you just so you can kind of calm down for a little. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And if Child Protective Services comes over and opens up the fridge and there's just like 12 cans of Better Than Bouillon.
Right.
They're going to be like, this house is unfit for children to be in.
Well, the married couple of 9 years claim that their, quote, food-free lifestyle has improved their health and emotional well-being, as well as letting them spend money on traveling rather than weekly groceries.
What's a huge bummer is they're not seeing the beauty of food. The beauty of, like, when they travel, all the different cultural food they're missing. All
Anthony
that experience. Anthony Bourre
fucking Dane.
Yeah. Eating bugs.
That's the correct pronunciation as well. Costello, 34, who lives between California and Ecuador with her husband, explained, humans can easily be without food as long as they are connected to the energy that exists in all things and through breathing.
What?
For a week.
Breatharian.
For 3 years, Akahi and I didn't eat anything at all. And now we only eat occasionally, like if we're in a social situation or if I simply want to taste a fruit. Imagine them in a social situation. Like, it's probably a free-for-all because then they feel, can we get more bread? Can we just get two baskets of bread?
They're off the diet in the social situation.
Don't you also see them as kind of, if they're at a party, and they say, "Oh, I don't want to eat that." I bet there's a real arrogance mm-hmm. to when they're. Oh, it's like my. I don't know if you know, but yeah. we're breatharians. And yeah. we're not here we go. This. And it's associated with like an identity issue. It's all that kind of sense.
Or someone makes a choice and they're just like, "Ooh,
oh, that's unfortunate." Whether these two know it or not. Every conversation they've ever been in a social scenario starts out like this. Here they come. Here they come.
Yep,
here they
come. Here they go.
They don't hear that part of the conversation. That's how it starts.
If they even have people that they're, I mean, people are probably so sick of them.
Right.
You know?
Sure. Can't invite them.
It's like, oh, when are they going to bring up the breatharian topic?
Or they're invited to no potlucks.
No. Right.
Because nobody's like, yeah, bring that vegetable broth that we all
love. Bring your packed air.
Oh, I brought a whole bunch of yawns for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, if the breatharians were like a family or house breatharian on Game of Thrones, they would just have like air dragons. We brought our air dragons here to take over.
Doesn't do anything for us.
Breatharian.
My question is this a term they created, or is this like a sect of people that we don't?
For 3 years, Akahi and I didn't eat anything at all. And now we only eat occasionally, like I said, in social situations. Then she says, with my first child, I practiced a breatharian pregnancy. Hunger was a foreign sensation to me, so I fully lived on light and ate nothing. But that kid loved that.
Great for the kid. Great for the kid. And she would tell people constantly, I'm not eating for two.
Yeah.
Right. Husband Ricardo, 36, believes that breatharianism is the ideal way to slash people's food bills. No shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, wait, don't buy food.
And that's another thing.
Expensive.
They don't have any shit.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Right.
Like, there's nothing coming out.
I love
out.
That he's like, guys, we don't spend as much money. That's like saying, I got rid of my car and I hardly pay for gasoline anymore. It's insane.
It's weird.
My gasoline costs every month.
I mean, it stands to reason that if you don't have a car, you're not going to be paying for gas.
And this is also just where the stupidity of this comes in. Not the pregnancy, the nutrients that food brings into your body to feed through the.
I don't want to tell a woman what to do with her body.
Right.
I don't either. But I'll tell that baby. Eat. Yes.
I'll tell baby what to do with his body.
Ricardo, who teaches courses about breatharianism along with Costello.
Really?
So they're teachers as well.
Where does he teach courses?
Somewhere here in California. There is a freedom that comes.
At the hometown buffet.
It's on a flyer in the street somewhere.
Yes.
No, he's probably at the Staff of Life, like, health food restaurant.
What's wrong with that place?
He's just yelling at people outside of
Santa Cruz.
Ralph's grocery stores. Yeah. There is a freedom that comes with not being attached or dependent on food. Yeah, that's called starvation. That's the freedom. Obviously, our living costs are a lot less than most families, and that has allowed us to spend our money on things that really matter, not food, like traveling or exploring together. It's given us a clear sense of what we want in life. Anyone can live a breatharian lifestyle and feel the benefits. It's not about never eating food again. It's about understanding cosmic nourishment and living without limits.
By the way, that message is, I think, a great message that, like, you shouldn't be the way we are with food and the way I am with food.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't know if you're this way, but I use food like if something good happens, I'll want to celebrate
it's
with a meal.
Yeah.
It's like a soothing, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so.
Which is not all bad. Like, there's a celebratory aspect.
Celebratory aspect, which is good, but at the same time, I think if there are moments where I'm stressed or I will stress eat. And those things.
Yes.
Sure.
That's using it in the wrong. I'm just as guilty as these guys are, so I understand not doing it properly.
But you
need food. But their message of not letting food dominate.
Yeah.
So you know my two daughters. The youngest daughter, Georgia, she is so good about. She's like, yeah, I'm just not feeling this right now. I'm like not in the mood for that. Like, she doesn't allow food to run her life, and I think that is a very healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
In saying we're not going to let food run our life, it's running their life.
It is. It's also, you think you hear about it, it's control based.
Totally.
Yes.
Like, as much as they say, oh, it's free, it's universe, there's a lot of control in there because they're taking it to the extreme. It's not what they're saying, to your point, is bad. Like, I need to breathe more.
Yeah.
I need to kind of surrender myself to whatever other.
The cosmic universe has to give.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Yes. But there's that kind of balance that you have to find.
I mean, you can get all of that with a really good frozen Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just saying, you can achieve all of that together.
Or a McFlurry.
Oh.
And you just shame eat it in your car.
In
your own driveway.
Or you
are not
it,
out of the car.
Or you throw it in the garbage can outside because you don't want anybody to see can inside.
Oh, what? Who walked by our street?
That's weird. Somebody's using our garbage can.
Someone threw a McFlurry cut in our garbage can. Honey, we got to be more protective.
You throw it in a garbage can as you're driving home, not in front of your house in someone else's garbage can. Let that family have
someone
the fight
said
about
never,
it.
Someone said never eat in your car. That is a thing that, like, if you don't eat in your car, you're probably
like lose 10 pounds.
Yeah, or just like that, if that's a one rule to live by in terms of eating.
I mean,
these people are
most options for what you do can eat in your car are not good for you.
No. Yeah, you're never going to like drive through at a sushi spot and be like, yeah, give me a baked crab hand roll.
Which you never
sushi.
See.
Yeah,
never.
Drive through sushi.
What? Should we make that?
Why are we why are we not doing that?
Guys.
Drive through sushi. What have I come up with?
I don't know.
I'm Googling it right now.
From 2008.
How many articles have been written about you regarding Veep, the title is HALE to the Chief. How many have been titled
What
Hail
if
to
I
the
had
chief?
An exact number right now?
You're like 17.
That's the number I was going to say.
Like, Hail, has that been done at least once?
I think maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. Hail to the Chief. That sounds so gross.
Hail to the Chief.
From 2008 to 2011, the couple did not eat solid food at all.
But if we opened up a cheese store, I would definitely call it Hail to the Cheese.
Oh.
Tony Hale's cheese store would be Hail to the
Cheese. That's nice.
Even through Costello's first pregnancy in 2001, quote, I knew my son would be nourished enough by my love, and this would allow him to grow healthy in my womb.
I love that, but not, I don't love that.
But yeah. Also, there's a real arrogance to that.
Like, right.
You're not acknowledging your own brokenness. It's like the fact that you see yourself as the purest of love, that a new human being is all they need.
It's
like,
the person who's shaking and sweating and telling everybody, I'm fine. Yeah, everybody's fine.
I'm good.
I'm great.
Jason, did you find it?
Haiku, hibachi, and sushi.
Drive-thru?
Asian fast food drive-thru.
Okay, why are you putting your coat on?
I'll see you guys
Getting
in a minute.
Sushi. Getting
is that here?
No. That's in Muhlenberg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then you think to yourself, where could we play in Pennsylvania to get me
listen,
close to
there's nothing
sushi?
Like there's nothing like landlocked sushi.
Oishi is Australia's only drive-thru.
Okay.
Sushi.
Don't right, you feel so much better though after you have sushi?
Oh.
Like that's another thing, like these people, like fish and
sure.
Just that's the iron for your body and all that kind of stuff is just there's so much
they don't need it. This is a story that essentially condemns any fanaticism, like on any level, in any direction that you go, it's bad. Too much of any one thing is a bad thing.
Which is control-based.
And bringing kids into it is an issue.
So, I agree with you.
Huge issue.
After I gave birth to my son, I wanted to be able to explore the joy of food in small quantities with my children as they grew. The couple's children, I'll give them this, aren't forced to practice breatharianism, although the couple insists that their kids understand the practice. Ricardo said, our children are aware of it and the energy that exists in the universe and in themselves, but we would never try to change them, and we let them eat whatever they want, whether it be juices, vegetables, pizza, or ice cream.
But well, at least they're not forcing
now them. Now I feel like the kids are making the menu.
Yeah.
Because those are four things that only kids that, like, if my kids are like, I want juice, maybe a vegetable.
One specific that they like for some
carrots,
reason.
Ice cream, and pizza.
Yes.
And the parents are like, we haven't eaten in 9 years. We don't know what the fuck you're supposed to have. So, yeah, fine.
Also, they're trying to, I mean, granted, again, we're all a mess, but they're trying to paint a picture that we're the perfect parents of, like, we do this, but we let them do whatever they want.
Right.
Who, when you let your kid do whatever where's that healthy?
That's not healthy either.
You know, there's like that extreme, too.
That's right.
They said it'd be unfair to impose breatharianism upon our children now, but maybe as they grow, they will get deeper into the practices, which means those parents are just
so they're like,
do you really want that graham cracker?
Yes.
Do you really want that graham cracker?
We'll indoctrinate them.
But all you're doing when you tell your kids to do one thing is waiting till they're a teenager
so they can do the opposite.
Can you imagine them in their teenage years having parents as breatharians?
Oh my God. They'll start fucking food. Like literally anything they can do to get around it.
That's story one.
Then they grow up hating air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then they stop breathing.
They're going to grow up hating
breathing. Breathe
holding
like
their breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they can't even watch Empire Strikes Back. Just the breathing alone.
Yes.
They can't even watch most of the episodes of The Sopranos, which I always often said that Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, may rest in peace, that his breathing was a whole other character.
Really?
The nose so breathing, the... Knock it off with the drums, AJ! Anyway,
tell you what I'm going to do.
Knock it off with the drums, AJ! All right, that's it. First story, down the books.
Story one. We're just breathing our way through it.
Breathe the air out.
I didn't hear right. Are they the only ones, or is there a whole community?
They were introduced. They met in 2005, and then were sorely introduced to the practice by a friend. A friend that I'm assuming everyone in their family now hates.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why did you have to introduce these two to this thing?
So that guy, there was Mr. Breatharian.
Yeah.
Well, it happens. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Tony Hale. Two more stories, crazy stuff on the horizon. This is Dumb People Town. He's Dan Van Kirk. He's Tony Hale. Jason, Randy, we'll be right back.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Dumb People Town.
We're glad you're here.
We're so happy you're here. Hey, check out the Facebook page. Most of the pictures of these that you see and stories or whatnot, we're updating.
Will there be a photo of the Breathe
Yeah,
Aryan
that's
couple?
What I want. I was
oh,
curious.
Of course. Yeah,
right, we have the a only photo. Way to find
And I'm going
to
be honest. They look great.
Yes!
They do look great!
They do look great.
So comment on those, guys. We love the community that is being built on this Facebook page, which is slowly...
Growing every week.
We might be at 10,000 at some point soon.
Every comment... Every review that has, because you can just rate on the Facebook page, and you can also write something with your review. Every review that somebody's written,
we read all of them.
Every single one of those gets read.
Yeah.
Every
can I ask another question about the Breatharians? You know how like you walk into a health food store sometimes, and you see those people that are super healthy, but they just don't look healthy.
Sure. Yes.
Would you say that it's that? It's that kind of thing. Like I understand you eat fully organic, but you look homeless.
Right.
Right.
So that to me is like what you just described there is like an out of focus moment in a documentary. You're like, that's real because you didn't get the shot in focus. You didn't spend 7 hours trying to set the lighting for this thing. That's a real moment that's happening because you can't get the camera in position. That's it. That's
here
it.
They are.
They look good.
Wait, can I look like put my glasses?
The girl looks like Jamie Lee.
I'm going to tell you
Jamie
something.
Lee?
Comedian and civil rights activist Dick Gregory promoted and followed the dubious...
Oh, really?
Of breatharianism.
Yeah.
No way.
A fruitarian diet.
Oh, fruitarian. That's different.
Yeah.
I'll eat all the apples I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would look down on him.
No.
And they're open to fruit. I mean, they do say they have a fruit every now and
they're
then.
They're open to social eating, but for Christ's sake.
You know, you were talking about the Facebook page.
Yeah.
We were remiss last week when we didn't do this, but we can lay it to bed now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a character, Tony, who's entered into our world.
Mm.
His name is Jan.
Oh,
Jan?
Okay. We call him Jan Flato.
But it's pronounced
Jan Flato.
And we know it. But in our hearts,
he's always going to be Jan Flato.
There's the
Flato.
Real guy, and then there's the character. Now, there's a Venn diagram that has a lot of overlapping there.
Sam,
but sometimes...
He wanted to get Jan Flato on this.
Yes.
His name is Jan Flato. We all understand
it's Flato.
By the way, coming up later on the show, in the Tom Segura episode, we introduced a character.
Yeah,
we
have a surprise from the Facebook group.
We have a surprise from the Facebook group, and I actually, it's maybe going to be a new, we've only been at this Dumb People Town here for what?
About
27 episodes.
22
it's been
years.
A while, but like, we
want to mix up the final
exactly,
little
Exactly, and take it in a new direction, and today we're going to start that. So, but we have another story, so let's jump into that.
Let's get into it. All right. Okay. I reminded myself to read you guys the headline here.
Please.
Man arrested after robbery, chase, and dive into river tells police he has regrets.
Yeah. I mean.
Wait, you got it back. Sorry, can you break it down a little bit? So he
robbed
after
somebody.
Robbery, he was then chased,
and then
dove into a river, and then told the police, you know what?
I
have a couple regrets.
Yeah. Well,
he took
regrets.
Inventory. He took a little inventory.
I have a few. He's got a few.
I bet he dove in the river thinking like, I'm good. I'm safe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No one can get me. I'm like,
I guarantee you if he wasn't caught by police, he might not have any regrets.
I'm in international waters now. Nothing they can do to me. It's like in a movie, like a Western, when a guy punches another guy in the bar.
And knocks him out.
Or just knocks him down. And you're like, that's the end of that fight.
What if
that guy gets back up?
It's to his credit.
They never get
okay,
up.
Okay. He robs somebody. Mm-hmm. He runs. He knows the police is after him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in a... he's not in a headspace where he's thinking logically.
No, right. He's on
he's
the
like,
run.
There's a river. I'm going to run to it.
I'm going in.
And the question is how he said the regrets. Did he just say it like, I got some regrets, or was he really genuine? It's like, oh, I got really some regrets.
When they were pulling up in the boat and he couldn't swim, was he like, I regret it?
Yeah, I regret it, guys.
I regret everything I did.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of coloring. Like, I'm curious how he said it.
Well, the question is, what did he rob? Because whatever you robbed and you're trying to get away,
right.
What are you getting away from? Because if you're trying to dive in a river and you'll put yourself into that,
Well, first of all, it can't be like paper. Like, he couldn't have robbed for cash. Because he's diving into water. Sure. So
it's got to be either jewelry. What did he rob? I'm sure they'll get into it.
He robbed a bank.
Oh. Okay.
But
wait, he did rob a bank.
I'm going to tell you guys
gold
this
coins?
Before we start to play.
Bitcoin?
This story ends with a game I like to call, whose home state did this happen in?
Okay.
So now I want you to keep that in mind as we go. One, and please tell us yours. Tony
wait, does he?
Because I looked it up, but I want to make sure it's right.
Okay, does. Ooh, that's a good
one. But where were you born?
Tallahassee. No, I was born in West Point, New York, but I lived in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay, I went off where you were born. So it's either going to be
New York,
Illinois, or Missouri.
So we'll get to that later. But okay.
Now my question, is there more to the story rather than just where he's from, in addition to like I have regrets?
Where he's from is just a secondary thing I like to play. When I realize it's from either mine, theirs, or our guest's home
state.
Got it.
Okay.
Here we go. This was sent in by Andy Russell at the Russell 4.
Thank
two
you.
S's, two L's.
Thank buddy.
Austin Denson, A.D.,
That's not a real name.
It's his real name.
This is the guy who robs real name?
Said he almost robbed a bank last week, but changed his mind when he saw how scared the bank teller was. What did you think was going to happen?
No. So these are responses to that story? Of
you know, this is the guy.
This is the story.
This is the story. This is
I'm
the guy.
I'm telling you how we
so
ended up
Andy
in that headline.
Andy's the guy who jumped in the river.
Andy Russell sent the story in to me.
Oh, that's our fan who sent in this story
to us. That's your fan. I see.
And now Austin Denson.
Is the man
who held up a bank, saw the terror in the guy in the teller's eyes, and was like, "I have regrets."
Right.
He didn't jump in a lake.
Oh no, we're gonna get to it.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. We're all in it together.
Thank you. Here we go.
Austin Denson said he almost robbed a bank last week, but changed his mind when he saw how scared the bank teller was. Mm. "Quote: I should have just hit that one when I was there." Is that his first regret? I don't know.
Please tell me he's never said that about a woman either.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it hit that, or is he saying tap that? Like, you know, I don't know where he's coming.
Tap that
both
bank.
Are wrong.
Yeah,
both are wrong. Like,
right. We just want clarity.
Yeah.
I should have just hit that one when I was there, Denson told police after he was fished from a river.
Fished from a river.
And arrested Monday night.
So he had to be saved?
Yes. Surveillance footage from that almost robbery at a bank showed Denson's license plate and ultimately led police to him. That's a don't park within view of the security cameras.
Right.
That's a first rule there.
Yeah.
According to police. But that didn't come. His arrest didn't come, them finding him, until after Denson robbed a credit union at gunpoint on Monday. So on Thursday, he walks into a bank and goes, "I'm going to rob these people.
Yeah, give me your money."
Walks in, scares the hell out of somebody, as someone does when they say, "I have a gun and I'm here to rob you."
Connects with the fear.
Has a conscience and is like, "I got to get out of here. I don't want this person to be that afraid."
As he leaves, that bank security camera sees his license plate. Then on Monday, he decides, you know what Denison's going to do today?
I'm going to go rob a credit union.
I'm going to go rob a credit union.
Right.
I'm going to go right back into it.
This is a guy who doesn't have a lot else going on.
No. He said police, that led the police to him. Police say Denison, 44 years old, entered the credit union at 1421 Jungerman Road. Ooh. Anybody who wants to go hang out there.
The dumb people town walking to. Is that something? Hi,
yeah.
Never know.
He walked in with a pistol in his hand and demanded money from three bank tellers. He then left through the credit union's back door. Why?
So he clearly didn't learn from his first experience
generating
fear.
And what tells me that the people who work at credit unions,
they're not scared of anyone.
They're not scared of shit. No. They didn't show enough fear in their eyes for him to call this one off.
They were like,
it's a credit union. We know this happens all the time.
Honey,
to follow the standard procedure. I need the key.
Right.
I need the key.
If you want to set your gun down, I'll count these out for you really quick because you're going to need two hands.
They threw all the money in one of those.
He just walked in with the gun, and they were like, "Guys, get your money out! Get your money! He's coming in with a gun! Get your money out!"
Yeah. Can you take this, Jeff? I'm on break right now. Yeah. Great. I got it. What's
so
that?
Then
you trying to rob us?
Is it after the credit union he goes in the lake?
Yeah. So after the credit
union. The river.
My bad.
A lake doesn't have a current, Tony.
I see. You're right. So there was a bank.
A river
which
is
he
alive.
Didn't do, and then he came back at the credit union, and then he jumped in the river.
Right. After being chased by the cops.
A lake is like a man in his 60s. Okay? It's very flaccid.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
A river is a teenage boy.
I'm going to show you guys
a
picture
raging
of his disguise. And I'm going to go so far to say, You didn't need a gun. When you walked in like this, everybody was like, we're being robbed.
That's him.
Look at that.
Oh, God. That looks like
Look at the beard.
Wait,
man.
That looks like our friend Gar Reines is playing a character.
That's right.
It's like a guy who bought afro wig and then just jammed it on the bottom part of his
face.
He just is like, really telling me, honey, before I leave the house, I'm here to rob you?
This looks pretty genuine, right?
Like, I don't want to be too scary because I get freaked out if people get really. I want to be like, oh, he's here to rob, here to kill.
Yeah. So he's wearing a hoodie zipped up to the top,
over a hat,
and then sunglasses, and then a huge, what looks like an afro wig on his chin.
He entered the credit union at Jungerman Road with a pistol in his hand, demanded money from three bank tellers. I like that. This guy went from being, I'm not going to do this because I scared one person, to I'm robbing three bank tellers at once.
Taking three people down.
Which, you know, there was probably like a line behind him of people like, man, you got to pick one window, man. That's right. All of us are waiting. It's next available window.
I got to go do the drop.
They're like, I'm doing that.
He does that step back where you can see all three through their little security windows. I'm talking to all... I'm talking to all three of you guys.
Everybody look at me. I can fire all... I have enough bullets for everybody.
First off, it kind of pisses me off. You guys have seven windows. There's only three of you working.
Right.
Did the credit union... Did he ever get anything?
He did. He walked in. He hit the three bank tellers. He then left through the credit union's back door. Mm-hmm. Which also, do you think that was him being like, no rules apply to me anymore? I'm back door leaving.
Yeah. Going out the back
door. One of my best favorite Joe Cocker songs. I came in through the credit union's back door window.
Surveillance photos.
I'm coming through the credit union back door window. No.
That's perfect. Surveillance photos released by police show Dennison wearing a fake black beard, sunglasses, and a baseball
hat.
Yeah. Court documents say employees from the bank recognized the disguise from his visit there on Thursday.
What?
So then they just started like comparing the other place. Like, hey, was this the guy who came in here last week and just scared you?
So he used the same disguise to go to the bank.
Yes.
That's his bank robbing outfit.
They got the license plate
number. Honey, where's my bank robbing beard? Did you send that to the last place you left it?
Well, if I knew the last place I left it, that's where I'd be looking.
By the way, I have this discussion with my kids every goddamn day. Where are my shoes? Was I the last person wearing it? Where is it? Where did you take them off? Like, take off your bank robbing beard in one place every day. Although, and you put it down in one place, honey.
I have a bowl for that.
My wife would have a bowl for it. Like an African knit stitched bowl.
So then they get the license plate from the first place he tried to rob, and they figure out, we know where this guy lives. Mm-hmm. Police found Denson at his home, but he fled. He led police on a chase into an adjacent county, back into the original town where they found him, and onto a bridge where he jumped into the river.
That's fun. I'm sorry. Mm. Jumping off a bridge into a river, that is like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
That's not even joking around.
That's a slow-mo moment.
That's...
Yep. That is. The music builds.
To me, that's like, this could all be one activity on the phone in the car.
You got to leave the money you stole in your car.
This is like the Amazing Race.
So I get the sense that when he says hit, he meant like hit up
steal.
That bank.
This is a place I'm going to hit.
Yes.
It took police an hour to fish Denson out of the river. He's recovering at a hospital from injuries. At the hospital, Denson told police he was sorry for leading him on the chase. This is his Goonies chunk moment. Yeah. Now we're just going to let it all out.
Let me see how much I can mitigate my damage.
I love that movie.
He told police, me too. He was sorry for leading them on a chase. He also told police where he had hidden money and his gun. I mean, it's all coming out at this point. He didn't have a gun on him. That wasn't even going to come in.
I bet he did have in his mind that moment when they jump off the ship in Goonies and they're tied. And they're jumping off. He's like, this is my Goonies moment.
He just yells out, hey, you guys! Jumps off the side.
Lifts up his shirt to reveal his fat stomach.
Yes, truffle shuffle, bro.
Truffle shuffle.
Which we all can relate to.
All of us.
Well, look, we're not breatharians, so...
Guy and his wife both look good. I wouldn't have predicted them to be breathing.
I think I need to be breathing.
I thought the guy was going to look like Tom Hanks on the island in Castaway.
Yes. Like, I would have thought skinny but not healthy, but they got good color in their skin and everything.
Like the guy who was dancing naked behind the Grateful Dead up high on the speaker during the Amazon documentary. I thought he looked like that guy.
Yeah. If any one of you leave this show and just casually say to your wife, have you ever heard of breatharianism? Don't tell me because I cannot handle it.
Yeah.
I don't like how much you guys are impressed by these people.
Your wife is a southern woman.
She is.
She's a southern woman who, like, loves and understands why food is great. Like, yeah. She's like someone who appreciates good things in life.
Yes.
She's an artist.
Yeah, she is an artist.
So she's an artist and she appreciates good things in life. If you told Martel, you have to stop eating because we're becoming breatharians, she would, and she's tall too. She would use all the force of her body to smack you across the face.
You know what? She wouldn't smack me. She would just stare at me and walk away.
Yeah. Which she would mentally smack you.
She would just go, I'm out.
I'm out. What are we doing here?
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my
life.
Tony,
get out of here.
Go to bed.
I'm done with you.
That's a pretty good Martel, Liz.
At police, Dennison told police he was sorry. Hey, nurse, can you get the cops in here?
Yeah, I just want to make that. That should get me off, right?
I got regrets, guys. First off, sorry about scaring that lady. Here's where my gun and money is. I'm sorry. I don't even know how to swim. It took you guys an hour to fish me out.
Okay, but by the way, if you're his lawyer, he has done enough to make a jury sympathize not to like throw the book at him.
Sure. Yeah.
He saw fear in someone's eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a ruthless person, so he has a conscience. He apologized. He's doing all the things.
But then he got home and his wife was like, what? You get back there.
Yeah.
You find another place.
She's driving
this.
The bus. She's the mastermind. Go put your bank robbing beard on and go.
Go.
Here's what I love. In his apologies to police, he told police where he had hidden the money and his gun. Police said they recovered about half the money. Which means he was like, here's where you're all. That's where all is.
Well, that's maybe the thing of like when a university, like a athletic program starts, like does all this illicit stuff.
They're like, we'll do our own
investigation.
Sure,
We got it, NCAA. That's maybe him trying to get out in front of it a little bit.
Here's my favorite part of the story. The probable cause statement said that Dennison told the nurses, quote, I robbed a bank today, and today has not been a good day.
opposite of an Ice Cube song.
Do you know what though? There is an honesty there.
Yeah,
there is.
He's saying the truth, and I even the fact. And yes, dumb moves. But even him saying, I saw fear in her face,
and I walked away.
Yeah. And then at the end, he says, I robbed a bank today.
And it was not a good day.
Yeah. That's truth.
And I hope the nurses were just like, okay, you're going to have to tell the cops. Can you sit still? I just need you to stay still while we x-ray.
I would love for someone to, if any of our fans are listening and you're creative, for that story, and you don't have to do the whole song. If you're musical and you're recording this, I would like to write a Today Was Not a Good Day
Ice Cube rap
answer to the Ice Cube rap for
based on this dummy's life.
Exactly.
And maybe throw some autotune in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Today's not a good day.
Just send it out to Austin Denson. Austin Denson.
You were actually doing the Ghetto Boys.
I was doing Ghetto Boys.
Today was not a good day. The county prosecuting attorney office charged Denson on Tuesday with 3 counts of robbery, 3 counts of armed criminal action, and 1 count of felony resisting arrest. Here's what I love, guys. Denson's ex-wife, she led police on a similar chase after an armed robbery in 2012.
I'm telling you, she was the voice behind it.
Tony Hale.
The couple that leads the police on a chase together stays.
Apparently doesn't stay together because it is his ex-wife.
That's true.
Also, the resisting arrest, he was not, the moment of I robbed the bank today, I have regrets, that came after.
Oh, he's in the hospital.
Oh, I guess resisting, because he did run away and jumped in the river.
Here's my thing. I wonder if
I totally forgot that fact.
You mean the biggest part of this story, that he jumped off a bridge into a river?
Where he had his Goonies moment?
I think robbing banks is a lot like being an artist or being an actor. Mm. Like, very hard for two actors in a relationship to stay in the relationship.
That's why Bonnie and Clyde couldn't stay together.
I mean, look, it's like one of them has to be the robber and the other has to be the support. Yeah.
And you have to have an audition that sucked, like the first bank, and you have to go the next day and say, I'm doing it again.
I'm going to go find a credit union. Right back on the horse.
I'm going to get that credit union commercial today.
An actor's mind.
They wrote here that his ex-wife held up a gas station using a rifle and was arrested after her own pursuit, but she did not end up in the river.
Was she in like Beverly Hillbillies too?
I'm working with a long gun.
Right.
Come on, Jimmy. I got it now. Give me that rifle.
Scope on it. Scope.
Who's she talking to?
Ma'am, I'm sorry. What are you trying to say?
She had her Daisy Dukes on and her boots.
I'm sorry.
Man, we can't understand you. What are you saying?
What pump were you on?
I'm sorry.
I see three windows.
Okay,
which window do I point to?
What pump were you on? Are you trying to pay for gas?
I done my matter.
No, it matters to me because I'm trying to see. There's a line behind you, ma'am.
We have
there's
to
a line.
Charge.
I don't care if that hose didn't steal in that car. I'm going to get that gas.
I still don't. Did you want that whatchamacallit?
You say that's right on your face.
Okay. Ma'am. Well, the whatchamacallit's $1.19 unless you have gas.
Shut up. I'm not paying nothing. I want you to put a pick and roll on that bill.
A pick and roll? Nobody's playing basketball.
No one knows what that is.
Did you say a pecan roll?
No, a pick and.
A pecan roll or a pick and roll?
I'm going to push him and put it in the back.
Get her a pecan roll. Dave, are you the manager?
Jeff, get her a pecan roll.
I don't. For,
she's got a rifle.
She's got a rifle.
Ma'am, do you even have money?
No.
Then why would I get her a pick and roll?
A pecan roll.
Whatever.
I'll tell you what, I got this rack. You see my rack?
Yeah,
yes,
see the rack.
You're
she's showing her breasts now.
That's all you need.
We don't sell pecan rolls based on how big your breasts are.
No.
All right.
Well, it's not my history.
I am a boobarianism.
Yeah, you believe.
Oh. I just live off the positive energy.
I myself am a breatharian.
Okay, ma'am. Look, I was going to say your breasts look great. Ma'am, can you just put the rifle down and I swear to God we will give
I'm
you.
I'm going to wait a minute.
Just like she kills with pitch.
She kills with pitch.
It's like a comedian that doesn't have any jokes but has the cadence.
Yes. Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask you guys now. Tony, you are our guest. You can decide. Do you want to go first or last in a round of whose home state did this happen?
Illinois, this Missouri, or New York?
Illinois, Missouri, or New York?
I'm going to... I'll go... Well, can I...
Yeah,
go first or last?
I'm going to say Missouri.
Okay.
Missouri. Okay. Randy Sklar.
I say Missouri.
Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Sklar.
I'm going to say New York. I'm going to break with tradition, although I know there are multiple rivers that we've been on in Missouri. So I think it could be that, but I just want to give myself a shot.
Oh, wow.
True to the state that he lived in, mm-hmm. the baseball hat in the photos and the shirt he was wearing when he was fished from the river
was
St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah!
That's right. Pretty sad that two people were like Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri. And in my heart, I said Missouri, but I was like, I want to be different.
And part of me is like, that's what's wrong with the Cardinals this year.
Yeah.
That fan base.
Yeah. You gotta be able to execute.
All right. Listen, we have two stories down the book. We have one more story, Dan. What can we look forward to in this story?
If you're a dad.
Uh huh. Which we are.
Which we are.
I know. Which is why it's perfect for the three of you.
Uh huh.
Or you've ever said to yourself, I shouldn't be doing this, but this fight needs to happen.
There you go. Okay, yeah, I think we can all key into that. This is for you. And then later, we're going to call it fan art.
Yeah.
Because we've asked you guys to do some things for us, and you've come through in such beautiful ways. This has been done, and we're going to do this because I would actually like to start doing this more often. We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. This is Dumb People Town. Stay with us.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town. Please watch Tony on Veep. Go see Transformers. It's a tiny independent movie.
Yeah, it's a little tiny independent film. It's really it's the big sick of action movies.
Kickstarter campaign.
Oh yeah, I know. I can't believe
when
Michael
we see you in stuff though. I get excited. I will admit that when I saw you on the
we claim possession of you. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, it was like a 2-day. It was like 2-day shoot, and they did that movie like for 7 months. Old Anthony Hopkins and all that.
Old Anthony Hopkins. And like, yeah, you were as a 2-day shoot, but you were in significant moments in the movie. And
thank
it was
you.
Really fun.
I saved the world.
You did save the world.
Spoiler alert.
I
Jesus Christ.
The world.
You do help.
And are you on you're not a huge social media guy.
No, I'm getting better.
Getting better at it.
You
what
know,
do you
I
like
actually
doing
took
more?
It off my phone.
Someone else did that.
I took it out of my phone and my wife has the code so I can't put it on. And then so I'll look at, if I have to do something, I'll look on Twitter, on Instagram or
on
something.
A computer.
On my wife's phone.
On her phone.
Because you can't post on Instagram on the computer, but I'll look on her phone.
All right, so you are.
Because I have a hard time getting distracted.
What do you do more, Twitter or Instagram?
I do the whole thing where I Instagram and then it goes
to
Twitter.
The Twitter. All right.
Yeah.
Well, follow him on that. Follow him on that. Is it at Tony Hale?
That's just entirely too much information.
Yeah.
Mr. Tony Hale.
At Mr. Tony Hale. Nice. Follow him. Follow us. Hey, rate and review and subscribe to this podcast.
Sure.
It only helps us go up the ladder. If you haven't given a review or a rating on it yet, and we know you haven't because only 1,000 people and this thing gets many more listeners on it. So please go and rate and review that. It only takes like 2 seconds. So do that. Daniel, we got one more story.
Here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Sent in by Thor99
at
Thorsten99, which makes me hope that's really
Thorsten.
Their name.
Thorsten Howell.
T-H-O-R-S-T-E-N.
Yeah, you need a third after that.
Thorsten Howell the 99th.
Shelton. Okay. Now, I want you guys to be honest.
Put our dad hats on.
What I'm about to describe to you might have been something that's crossed your, like, anger. Like, something in, in your mind where you were like, so you might understand, but be honest, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I will.
Now, do you have pets to where you might have done this to a pet, just so you can relate?
Even if you're on
not that
parent.
I'm saying my daughter's
I,
a pet.
Yes, I totally understand this anger.
Okay.
But you gotta keep it in check. Mm-hmm. A Derby man was arrested on June 16th after he was involved with an altercation with a five-year-old at the Shelton Daycare during a Father's Day party.
Yep, I see it.
This guy got so mad at a five-year-old that he was like, you want to go? Not his son.
Okay.
He was like,
meet
you want to go?
Meet me out by the jungle gym,
Do you want to go right now?
Yep.
To a kid.
Was this other kid threatening his kid?
That's
what I want to know.
Yeah, what was this kid doing? What weren't this kid's parents doing to stop him?
I'm
going to
show you a picture of this guy. Mm-hmm.
The guy or the kid?
The guy.
This will be on the Facebook page. Oh my God.
This happened in Connecticut.
It's the same beard as the robber.
He's wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so the location is Connecticut, but the affiliation is Florida.
This guy looks
like a relief pitcher on like any number of Major League Baseball teams.
Do you know what? I've never done that. I can't relate to that.
But have you ever gotten so...
bullying another kid.
Oh, forget about it.
And no one's
around. That's what I'm talking about. When you're like, somebody needs to straighten this.
However, I wouldn't go up to that kid and be like, what the f-? You know, I would be kind of like,
I start talking loud.
Well, Tony, would you do one of these? Whose kid is this?
Yeah.
Whose kid is this?
Should we be doing this right now? We should.
But was another kid, does it say anything about another kid involved?
Lance Churchill was attending a party.
This is like an elite community, it sounds like.
Lance Churchill.
Yeah.
Was attending the
party. Of the Churchills.
Yeah.
Connecticut Churchills.
At Apple Tree Daycare at 117 Long Hill Crossroads in Shelton, Connecticut.
For the walking tour. If you're on the Dumb People Town walking tour, you've got the address now.
Thank God.
Where children made Father's Day cards and gave them to their respective fathers.
The nicest gesture of something you will want to throw away 30 seconds after you get it.
You name me one card that a five-year-old has given you.
Unless it's laminated, and then you might
give it for a year.
Yeah. Hang on to it. Just see where you can put it to where you can eventually throw it away.
Those are things that I really, truthfully, I'm just going to say this about any card that's given to you, any laminated
thing. It's a hoarder gut check.
It's a hoarder gut check, but it's something that deep down in your heart, you hope to lose it for 20 years.
Right.
Or 10 years, and then find it again when your kids hate you.
Was your mom like a hoarder?
She did keep stuff, but I don't remember that. I was also the third kid, and by the third kid, it's nothing. They don't care about anything.
No, I'm not talking about like in keeping stuff. Like
she's got all like there's an addict and there's a lot of stuff up there.
Did you say an addict or an addict?
There's an addict.
She's an addict. She's an addict. She's an addict and there's an addict. All right. So anyway, so what happened here?
According to police, one of the children playfully took Churchill's card that he received from his son and ran around the room with it. The 6'4", 270-pound Churchill chased the child and picked him up over his head, police said in a press release. Once he put the child down, he pinned him to the ground and screamed at him in front of the other children.
Oh, no! Wow. This I am not on
board
with.
Imagine his own kid being like, Dad, stop.
Or is not. For clarity, this is not his kid.
No, this is another
kid.
Best case scenario, still totally in the wrong. This kid has constantly picked on. Like, if there's something where he's like, is this the kid who's always bad? Still totally in the wrong. But I feel like this guy came in way too hot for the kid grabbing a car. Like, there's some history.
He came in way too hot for a kindergarten.
He came way too hot for life.
Do you know what? There is this there's this person in my kind of extended relative. I won't say which side of the family is.
To protect.
And he's older. He's like in his probably 60s. And I remember he got into, there was a kid, we were traveling, and the kid said, probably was like 5 or 6, maybe, and was like, you really need to not smoke. I don't think it's good for you.
Yeah.
And he started arguing with the 5 or 6-year-old, being like, what are you talking about? Do you know anything about this? And it was,
the kid was right on every count.
Right on count. But it's that sense of,
it's an immature way to attack it.
But it's like a detachment from not knowing that it's a kid. Right. You know, it's like you're having a conversation with what you think is like a 40-year-old. It's like it's a kid.
It's a Trump-esque way to approach something in that way to go at that. But
he just went full diesel.
He came on
this
full
kid.
Diesel on this kid and to pin the kid to the ground. What if his kid is just standing there going, this is what I have to deal with?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody look. Exactly. Child Protective Services.
Also, where are the parents of the kid that he's pinning down?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe that's why this kid's acting out.
That's true. Never know. All right, so.
You ready for the greatest part of the story?
Yes, I am.
We haven't even
hit the... Okay.
The daycare staff ended the incident when they pulled the child away from Churchill and called police. Here we go. There's always one sentence that makes everything work in Dumb People Town. Yep. This is it. When police arrived, Churchill wanted the 5-year-old boy arrested.
Really?
He was still so...
It's theft.
In his own
burglary.
Camp, he was so...
Burglary. He had convinced himself it was like low-level larsen.
Here.
Yeah. Kid's right over there. He's right over there, officer.
You're getting it now, you son bitch.
That is the definition of blame shit. That is the definition of like never taking responsibility and be like, he did it. Yeah. She did it, which like goes back.
I tried to detain
Thank
him
you.
For you guys.
Thank
okay.
You, officer.
And then pulled me off. And
you're right. That is Trump. That is like flat out something Trump would do.
Do you guys want to give me a you guys want to give me a medal for a citizen's arrest? Because I had that kid down.
I had that kid picked down. Until these assholes, they're basically accomplices.
Where
you might as well arrest
you?
Them too.
Where were you guys? This kid's running rampant.
Yeah. Wow.
So, oh God. So imagine his surprise when the cuffs went on him.
Yeah, he's like, you guys must be confused. He took I didn't take his card. Yeah, I don't understand what
did
is
I make
happening
a Father's
right
Day
now.
Card for him? No. Anyway, so.
Churchill of 26 Sunset Drive in Derby. Again, add that to
walking
the walking
tour.
You can go hang out with this guy if you want.
Steal his stuff.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not encouraging this at all, but if I listened to Dumb People Town and I lived with this guy, I would go leave a card on his front porch. I wouldn't bother him. I wouldn't bother him at all.
Because what's wrong with
world's greatest dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just put it on his
On the inside, I would write, you lift me up when no one else does.
You pin me down when I need to be pinned down.
Life is all about the chase.
Oh, love you, Dad.
Love you, Dad.
He was charged with a risk of injury to a minor and disorderly conduct. He was released on $1,500 bond and is scheduled to appear in court on June 30th.
Which already happened. Happy Father's Day.
Oh my God.
That is amazing.
Dude, I understand getting irrationally mad, but you've got to check it.
No, but this is what we're talking about. This is why I feel like we need to do this show right now, because I know crazy stuff has happened in the past. We understand that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the incidence of stupidity taking over because of the times we live in are rising. And that is why we need to do this show to have the fun that we have. And I agree with you, Dan. You know what that, give the address one more time.
What's this guy's address?
Leave a car. I want to see like
hundreds of cars.
I want it to be almost like an accident site.
Sunset Drive in Derby. And you know what?
Maybe Derby, Connecticut? Derby, Connecticut?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe a whole bunch of people showing him love
again?
Will help him.
However, I will say, to play devil's advocate, I don't know if he needs more shame.
Yeah.
No. I think he needs anger management.
Oh, totally.
Like
just loving
recovery therapy. Because that is like intense,
26
man.
Sunset Drive in Derby. And also, maybe before you make a card, take a look at the photo and remember 6'4",
270 and Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan.
You could just mail it.
Yeah. Mail him a card. Right, look, we have the address now. Just mail. If he gets like 8,000
I'm going to tell you this right now. We're all nice in Dumb People Town.
Yeah.
If you do this, be nice.
Be nice.
Don't
be nice.
Give
him
love.
Shower him with love.
And also, we kind of think, there's been times in my head where I'm like, that kid, if he's being, I'll see a kid who's being mean, and I'm like,
I had 2 seconds with that
kid. But then you walk away, you breathe, you're like,
Because
you're an adult, you breathe. It is that kind of crazy impulsiveness that's happening.
Can you ever do, as a parent, can you do like passive aggressive stuff to a kid? Can you be like, how come you're mean to everybody?
Yeah.
Can you do that, or is that still
true? Yeah, no, I call it out. If you name it, that's what I do. Like, some kid was being a bully to some kids who were hanging around my son's school, and I said to my son, who is it? And they're like, that kid. I'm like, hey, is it true that you've been bullying some of these kids around this school? Because we don't do that here in this community.
You know
that we don't do that in this community, right? Because the word is that you've been doing some bullying.
You're talking to him like he's got a hearing issue. Like, the volume keeps going
up. Emphatic, like, tone.
Yeah, no, I'm up here with it. I'm up here with it.
And by the way, the reality of the situation probably sinks in with him when he's hearing it from you.
I'm like, a lot of people are saying it, and you know.
Yeah. So maybe you need
to stop. You're a bully boy. Yeah. Everybody says you're a bully boy.
May need to stop doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, if this guy gets in more legal trouble, there is one person that we know who can represent him, and it is someone, a lawyer who we found. He was in San Francisco. Mm. I wish he would have come out to see us to our shows when we performed in San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club.
In the Tom Segura episode of
Thank you to all of the Dumb People Townies who came out to that. Yes. We loved seeing you at those shows. But in the Tom Segura episode, we created basically some lore about, what was his name?
Jacques Wilson.
And then one of our fans, we asked our fans to create a commercial for
Jacques Wilson
as a lawyer who got a guy off. He got him completely off.
The gentleman broke into a building,
was on meth.
A spaceship was going to come pick him up and take him away. Uh-huh. On his way to the roof, he broke into an apartment, stole a medicine ball, as well as a couple other things.
Got in a fight
with the people who lived there. They tackled him, which gave the man who tackled him a rash. Uh-huh. And then he...
And the lawyer got him off, completely off.
Hey...
And his goal is to eradicate injustice.
Yeah. So a friend, a listener made a commercial, and
Andy Greenberg, friend of the Dumb People, a member of Dumb People Town, an upstanding citizen in our town.
That's right.
He made us a little something. You want to hear it?
So let's hear it to close the show tonight. We're going to play this.
Attention, accused criminals. Are you the victim of a grave injustice? Then why don't you pick up the phone and call me, Jacques Wilson, attorney at law. Been accused of breaking and entering? Injustice! Did you lose a meat raffle to some out-of-towner? Injustice! I'll take the case and dispute your injustice. Just listen to this satisfied client. My name's Jan Flotto, and when a lady took my casino winnings, I called Jacques Wilson, attorney at law, and he solved my injustice. Now I can buy all the chicken wings I want. Well, there you have it, folks. So if you've been done an injustice, just pick up the phone and call me, Jacques Wilson, attorney at law.
Paid for by Jacques Wilson, LLC.
Injustice!
That is the bull whip. The whip is so great.
Part of me loves the fact that Jan Flotto had a very similar accent.
He had a very similar accent
to Jacques Wilson.
That's okay.
That's fine. Everyone in his world. That is
everyone in his world. Thank you for sending that.
Andy Greenberg.
Thank you for sending that in. Thank you to all our fans.
So much fun.
We may start doing that. We may start asking you guys to do that and end our shows with some like fan generated stuff, which I think is so fun. The Dumb People Town art fair. Yeah, Dumb People Town refrigerator art. We'll throw it on up there. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Again, go watch Veep, support Tony Hale in every possible way that you can, and us, support this show, subscribe, rate, review it, the whole thing, and we'll let you know. We've got a couple of, you know, check our dates that we're coming live in the fall.
Sure.
Jay and I are going to be at the Blue Whale Comedy Festival in September, on September 8th and 9th. We're going to be in Denver and by the way, in every one of these cities, we're doing a Finding the Funny. So we'll be around trying to find what's funny about the town and writing material about it and then doing it on stage. So we'll be in
Boulder, maybe
the night before we do our shows in Denver.
Nice.
We're going to the Landmark Club, which is in the south. That's October like 5th through the 7th, maybe in Boulder on the 4th. And then we're in Bloomington, Indiana in November. And then Houston at the Come and Get It Festival. Yeah. We're going to do a live Dumb People Town there.
I think that's the 17th and 18th.
In November. And then we'll be in St. Louis in December 13th through the 16th. So check supersclars.com for all those dates. And can't wait to see you guys there. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you, Tony Hale.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Thanks, buddy.
We're out.
Let's get back to work. Dum 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 dum.